Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on this Turbo Thursday. We're going to get you guys all the way to the end of the week, man. Coming up on a long weekend, Labor Day's right in front of you. Oh yeah. I'm hearing too, we got good weather late on. I mean, and I'm also hearing, and I hesitate to say it out loud, but I'm hearing there's a cooling trend coming, like that little touch of fall that teases you for a few days.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm saying, man. All right. Hey, listen, I'm going to take some text messages, then I'm going to jump into the next topic. James from Harvest, as they said, I know it's not on topic. I want to hear if you'll touch on it, though. What do you think about the news saying that Iran is only a fly's breath away from having enough enriched uranium to have three bombs? Makes me pretty nervous because you know what they'll do with them. James, you're not wrong. In fact, my third dipper for the day, which at this point I'm beginning to doubt that I can get to it, it'll be on tomorrow at the very least, is on Israel and Iran's Ring of Fire, they're calling it. Iran actually calls their campaign to destroy Israel the Ring of Fire. And yes, this is a part of it. And it's a huge, hairy deal. And it's the Biden administration's fault that we've gotten to this point, because we had almost crushed the economy of Iran and put them to a place of capitulation during Trump's last term. But then all of a sudden, they started getting a whole lot of more revenue. You know, they got to sell their oil again. They got pallets of cash. It's a whole different world under Biden, isn't it? And in the meantime, they're using that to help build a bomb. Ken from Harvest, in light of the Harris-Waltz interview, do you think Waltz's title will change from VP candidate to emotional support animal? So that's, by the way, that's already being talked about. It hadn't come out yet. It comes out tonight. But they released a first little clip of it just in the last few minutes. And it's already being lampooned. Why? Because it looks like it's a softball. It also apparently was pre-recorded, edited, and 18 minutes of it was not even released. What does that tell you? They did a picking and choosing of what they thought was the most significant portions to help Kamala. And yeah, Tim Walz is there with her. Now, listen, I will go ahead and readily admit, there are other, historically speaking, there are other presidential candidates, both Republican and Democrat, who have done joint interviews with their vice presidential nominee. They have. So I get that. You can say that this is a thing, and I will say I know it's happened before. Here's the problem, and this is what they're missing out on. This is what her team is not advising her well on. None of the other candidates were being laughed at as people who couldn't converse on their own. She is. And the fact that they had to have her guy mansplaining right next to her is really bad optics, because she needs to, if I'm not for her, obviously, but if she's going to overcome any stigmas, one of the stigmas she has to overcome is the fear of her word salads and the fear of her inability to articulate sound policy points. And so rather than give her a chance to shine and show the world who she is without any help, they have to bring in the guy to sit next to her. And I think they missed an opportunity is what I'm saying. We'll see. It comes on tonight. Commander from New Hope says, hey, man, we love all the Butters. We all love Butters. He does a great job. He says, we wanted to ask how Boomer's doing these days. Thank you for asking that. I texted back and forth with Boomer the other day. I don't get to see him as often. We see him at church once in a while. But Boomer and his family are doing great, and I will pass that on. Thank you, Commander. Jeremy from Madison says, I've heard rumors of investigations not putting forth adequate effort when it comes to investigating crimes where a heinous crime was the victim. I don't know what we're talking about, Jeremy. I think he was texting me. I don't know which one you're talking there, brother. Chris from Huntsville, issues in education certainly touch back to the late 60s book about, quote, teaching as a subversive activity, all the rage in college back then. Roots back to John Dewey, once featured on U.S. postage stamps, to assuage teachers' unions, a long, long history of warped radicalism. Man, I got an amazing audience, Big Rig. You know it? It's just, sometimes these text messages feel like they could just be the show themselves. A couple more. Barry from Huntsville just says something was clearly stated. Oh, somebody's got a baseball cap that says only you can prevent communism. Nice, with a picture of Smokey the Bear. Red from Tony Glad to be back in the South, sir, he says. He texted earlier. He was in Kansas. And he said, glad to be back in the South, sir, and that charge is one of the better things to happen in my life. It got me out of that lifestyle. Well, you know what, brother? That's then you are the epitome of avoiding recidivism. And so thank you. You get her done, man. Take advantage of what God's given you. Bryant from Huntsville says, in Colorado, I wonder if the readiness of Space Command will be affected if it was taken over by Venezuelan gangs. Should have come to Huntsville. Nice. All right, listen, let's jump in here. Immigration Nation is what I'm calling this dipper. We have never seen anything like this, but the world has. What do you mean, Phil? Well, hang on, I'll answer. In the world's history, we have seen what happens when mass migration takes effect unchecked. What happens to a culture? You may recall that at some point in the recent past, I did a whole monologue, maybe even a dipper, as a matter of fact, on what historians believe were the elements that caused the downfall of Rome. The great and vast Roman Empire, that spanned from sea to sea, from the known reaches of the world at the time. One of the elements of that was a loss of control of borders and mass migration. It destroyed the culture. The governance was no longer able to truly govern because they had no ability to say, these are our borders and it stops here. And the mass migration was unchecked. It was whole peoples shifting in their borders. And so that's what we're seeing now. And if you look at history and you find mass migration as being a thing that caused the downfall of a society, by the way, I'm not for shutting down immigration legally. I've got family members that are naturalized citizens. Love them. They're as American as you and I. You know why? Because they came here the right way, went through the process, and embraced who we are as a nation and became a part of us, as opposed to mass migrations of people who storm our borders and flood in knowing full well they're breaking the law just to even get here, and then they get here and they strain all the resources and they come in human waves. No nation should be allowed or should be required to have to endure this. But here we are looking at, I mean, let's talk about some of the resourcing right now. Just the resourcing. Story here on townhall.com came out this morning. Homeland Security hands out more money for illegal immigrants. U.S. Department of Homeland Security has announced on Wednesday the allocation of over $380 million to go towards the care of illegal immigrants living in communities consumed by the Biden-Harris administration's border crisis. That's $380 million now. Oh, by the way, they gave out $259 million of that same type fund in April. Last year alone, they gave out $780 million in grants. Keep in mind, though, and I get to Denver in a minute, Denver calls itself a sanctuary city. Denver has spent $68 million by itself just feeding, clothing, housing, illegal immigrants, medical treatments, transportation costs. They don't come here with a bankroll and a job ready to start. The vast majority of them come here going, what are you going to give me? I heard you give me things. Well, why would they not think that when we are just giving out literally in the last year over $1 billion in U.S. dollars, not including what locals are having to pay? But with that comes an element that is extremely disturbing. With that comes a criminal element. We've talked about the fentanyl crisis as it floods across our southern border. And over 100,000 Americans have died related to fentanyl overdosing and poisoning. We've talked about the criminal acts in which innocent young lives have been snuffed out by illegals who were here, that if they hadn't been here, you can say, you can use a but-for statement on it. But for the illegal immigration crisis, this person would still be alive. Yes, it was a criminal act by an individual, but that individual might not have been here if we were actually enforcing our border. But then there's the organized element. It's not just the one-offs. It's not just the, I came here and I'm a bad guy and I'm going to do a bad thing to people. It's not just that. We are now seeing mass influx of organized criminal elements coming across our southern border. When we get back from this break, I'm going to tell you about one. It's called Tren de Aragua. And Tren de Aragua, some are calling it MS-13 on steroids. And they're taking over whole sections of cities. I'm telling you, folks, there's a flashpoint coming if we don't get hold of it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, throwing truth bombs. That's what we're doing. Giving you all the truth you can put on the bumper stickers. So I'm in this section I'm calling Immigration Nation. And I'll tell you right now, some of the news that has come out in the last couple of days has been some of the most concerning in terms of the health and welfare and safety of American citizens in the wake of the illegal immigration lack of policy that we see out of the Biden administration that I have seen yet. I say that because, you know, we've heard before about like MS-13 shows up, you know, and then there's criminals that come across the border and do things. And we know the cartels are shipping drugs. And you see that, but it's kind of like invisible, right? And I don't want to say it's, I don't want to mitigate it because there are people that have suffered because of them. But the reality is those things feel a little bit nebulous. It's that thing that you know is out there, but you can't touch it or see it yet. It's just out there. And unless you're in just the right place at the right time, well, guess what? The world is starting to see some things now. In the Mexican border area, in the state of Chihuahua, which is directly across from, I believe, from El Paso, the Mexican border state, Fox News, has a piece that came out this afternoon. The Mexican border state of Chihuahua is on alert for members of a violent Venezuelan gang called Tren de Aragua, or TDA, they refer to it as, after receiving reports that members of the gang were moving through the state to cross into the U.S. near El Paso, Texas. Chihuahua Secretary of Public Safety Gilberto Loya warned Monday that Mexican authorities have seen a large number of individuals they believe are members of the violent Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua, or TDA, operating in the state. The report comes after the Treasury Department in July sanctioned TDA as a transnational criminal organization. Okay, keep this in mind. This is not just a gang of thugs doing stuff in the streets, you know, peddling stuff on the street corners, getting in some trouble. They have been branded by the U.S. government as a transnational criminal organization. They have committed atrocities in the realm of human trafficking, extortion, money laundering, drug trafficking, and they oppose what has been quoted by the Treasury Department as a, quote, deadly criminal threat across the Western Hemisphere. They are a violent, bloody organization. Tren de Aragua, it says, often engages in sex trafficking and what they call debt bondage. We'll help you get over there, but you're going to be our slave for the first 5 years. Tren de Aragua, it says, often kills its victims too and publicizes the deaths so that others will see it. U.S. officials, such as Representative Tony Gonzalez, who's a representative, a Republican from Texas, he described them as MS-13 on steroids. He said they're coming from Venezuela, one of the most war-torn countries in the last decade. They're battle-hardened in a lot of ways. They've made the trek from there to here, but they're becoming far more organized and brazen. Okay. Don't think that means they're just out there. It just means there's more of them coming. Because here's what we've just seen in Colorado. Colorado, and I pulled this one off of local news. Denver's policy of welcoming migrants, this Dateline yesterday. Denver's policy of welcoming migrants is having unintended consequences. I got news. This is always going to happen. The fact that it's unintended consequences, we didn't mean for this to happen. What did you think was going to happen? Ollie, Ollie, income free. Everybody wants to come get free stuff. We'll give it to you, and we won't question you, and we won't turn you over to ICE. And don't worry, we're going to defund the police while we're at it. It's all awesome. What do you think's going to happen? Aurora, Colorado, a city with a population of 390,000, a suburb directly east of Denver, has become a hub for Tren de Aragua gangs. local law enforcement sources have told the Post. The group took over several apartment complexes. Imagine this. You're in a U.S. city in Colorado. 40,000 illegal immigrants have been sent to Colorado in the last year. 40,000. Y'all, that increased the population base by 11% in 1 year in that one city. They went from a population of 390,000 to an estimated, good gosh, to an estimated 430,000. City leaders had to cut back on emergency services to manage the cost. They've already exceeded $68 million in expenditures related to illegal immigrants because they're a sanctuary city. And in the meantime, Tren de Aragua, and we saw it this week. We saw Ring camera footage of armed gangs roving the hallways of this apartment complex, terrorizing people, breaking down doors. But they look as casual. They're not walking around like running and ducking, dodging and staring and seeing. They could care less about that Ring camera. They're walking around carrying AR-15s and pistols and using crowbars to break open doors. There is one city councilwoman in Aurora who's willing to speak out right now. Aurora City Council member Danielle Jurinski. She's been very vocal. Daily Wire has a piece talking about what she's up to. She says, we currently have entire apartment complexes under gang control. Complexes where the staff have been beaten up. They've been threatened. Families have been run off. They start brokering the apartments themselves. Somebody leaves because they're trying to escape the things that are happening in their apartment complex. And the gang takes over the apartment and then rents it out to Venezuelan families. Parts of Aurora, she says, are under gang control. Tren de Aragua, it says, has members across the country. It's known for its brutality. One of the members, Jose Ibarra, is the one who murdered Georgia student Lakin Riley. Another Tren de Aragua gang member named Gennardi Jose Pacheco Chirino was arrested after beating a man at an Aurora apartment complex. And it goes on and on. You can't have 40,000 people show up unabated almost overnight and not expect there to be problems. But what we're seeing right now is violence is coming across our border. But don't worry, Kamala's going to build a wall now. I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one. I'm talking about this one. I do mean this one. Alabama, y'all, Alabama. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, before I go any further, remind you guys, so Inspire Advisors, they're one of our newest advertisers, and they are like epic cool. So Inspire Advisors is there to help you achieve your investment goals, you know, grow your bottom line, at the same time standing up for what you believe in, so that you don't have this mix of where you accidentally invested in things that are supporting things that you like are contrary to your beliefs, like abortion or pornography or whatever else, because you never know sometimes what's in your portfolio. Well, listen, you've heard me talk about them. Here's something else free they're willing to do. Right now, they got an exciting opportunity. I'm going to share it with you. So Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors, they're starting what they call a fall educational series this summer. I mean, this fall, I'm sorry. Starts in September. Each month, they're going to offer a unique learning opportunity, beginning with like a close look at how to analyze your portfolios, transform them with what they call biblically aligned investments, learn how to screen the companies you're investing in, select the right ones that will also meet your risk-reward goals, you know, growing your bottom line, like I said. And then coming up in October and November, they want to invite you for another deep dive into retirement planning and risk management. Look, they're doing all these things. They got these free classes, but space is limited. So if you'd like to do this, if you'd like to sign up for it, just go to their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. Or just too easy, go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Go to the sponsors tab of Right Side Radio and click on it, and you will find their website post haste. I'm telling you right now, Inspire Advisors, look, I'm going to be talking to Paul again tomorrow morning. I love what they do. It is so worth getting in touch with them. It is free to check things out, and they would love to help you. Biblically aligned investing. How about that? Inspire Advisors. All right, I'm back on this topic. We're going to wind up closing the show out on this one, I'm pretty sure. Dippers are coming. I mean, the text messages are coming in. Immigration Nation. I mean, I'm watching it right now on the screen. There it is, Big Rig. Venezuelan gangs terrorize Colorado. I mean, we're watching the video. I said earlier that, in my opinion, one of the flashpoints that's going to galvanize public opinion and maybe even galvanize public action is going to be when things like what we're looking at happen on camera. So I'm watching right now as guys walk around with complete impunity, toting pistols and long guns through a building like they own the place. And they have no good intent. They're not guarding their homes. They're taking over people's homes. So that being said, so often the crimes that we hear about, they feel a little bit nebulous because we can't see them. We don't have that experience of, well, I saw firsthand what happens. But sooner or later, a Ring doorbell or a person with a video, you know, on their phone, or is going to catch an organized effort that could only have occurred because of the Biden-Harris administration's lax policies on border control. And the world is going to be inflamed by it. My concern is we're going to start seeing things like people down on the border trying to take action themselves or in their own towns. Now, listen, nothing says you can't guard your home. But I'm a little concerned about what we talked about earlier with Butters and Lee about vigilantism. In fact, you know what? Commander from New Hope just texted me again. He says, what if Americans decide to go hold the border ourselves regardless of government? They can't take us all. We fight for our country. Why do we have to allow this? It's because Biden says so. Aren't we free to defend our country? Aren't we free to defend our families? Yes and no. So here's the thing, Commander. Great question. I love the sentiment. Vigilantism is when people take the law into their hands and go and under threat of force try to enforce the laws, and you're not deputized to do so. So if you were to go down there and like volunteer to augment the Border Patrol by giving them support, like you're going to set up, you know, way stations for Border Patrol officers to get, you know, water and take care of things they need, provide them some comfort measure in their work, or be willing to go down there and stand a border station and they'll allow you to watch and then just radio them when you see something. Seeing something and saying something is not a crime. But what they can't have is people interjecting themselves into a enforcement zone, trying to enforce the law themselves, because that's a recipe for disaster. The vast majority of the world has no training in policing. And there are standards. There are. In Alabama, we call it the APO certification. You have the Alabama Police Officer Standards and Testing. You get APO certified. It means something. You've been trained in de-escalation of force and in minimal use of force. And anyway, all I'm saying is, Commander, there's a way to do it, and there's a way not to do it. Jeff from Indiana, he's texting in. He's having to stand in line at a Walmart right now. He says, please just shoot me now. Thanks, Jeff. Take care, brother. Lisa from Huntsville says, the biggest takeaway I learned from all my college history classes was the reasons for the fall of Roman Empire. This is, you said, attacks from the farthest borders, the decaying of the government from within. And my professor said that all that was left was one square mile known as the Vatican City. I've never forgotten that, and I'm amazed this is no longer taught. There you go. Be a student of history or you're doomed to repeat it. Gary from Decatur, what's the difference between being taking the law in your own hands and the federal government acting unlawfully? Well, one is a violation of a duty. The other one's taking on a duty that wasn't yours to take. So there's your simple legal answer. When the federal government fails to enforce its own laws, it is sacrificing, it is basically negligently, even recklessly, disregarding the enforcement of existing laws. When people take matters into their own hands who were not authorized by law to do so, it creates a whole other dynamic. But listen, there's a problem, though. At what point are people going to say, we don't have a choice? Nobody's helping us. And I don't think it's going to be a mass, you know, civilian force showing up at the border armed and ready to fight cartels. I don't think that's what we're looking at. But I do think what we're going to see is someone's going to get mad because they got kicked out of their apartment by a cartel that was taking over their apartment building and the police weren't doing anything about it. And so they're gonna go in there and they're gonna blow up somebody's car, or they're gonna come in with guns blazing to get their personal possessions back, or they're gonna take revenge because their daughter was assaulted in the hallways. So do I see a problem? I do. And the question is there gonna be a flashpoint? I mean, at what point do good, honest people become as enraged as the thugs did during the BLM riots at the end of George Floyd, right? I don't know. I hope it doesn't happen. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is what the left is driving people to. I feel like this is a very dour topic right now. All right. Just so you know, it's not just out there. All right. 1819 News has a story that came out yesterday. Congressional report says that a 2023 rape by an illegal alien in Prattville, Alabama, is the result of disastrous immigration policies of the Biden-Harris administration. You may recall this. May of last year, a young lady was in a restaurant on Cobbs Ford Road down in Prattville, which is on the tail end or southern end of our listening area. And she was raped in the restroom of the restaurant by a guy she'd never seen before. He was an illegal immigrant who was here, who had already been detained once on the border in 2021. He was expelled back to Mexico. He came back again, and 2 years later, having streamed across the border with all the other masses under the Biden-Harris administration, he raped this young lady viciously in Prattville, Alabama. ICE lodged a detainer against him following his arrest in Prattville, but it literally took a push from authorities to determine that yes, ICE was aware that he had a criminal record in the foreign country where he came from. But don't worry, because Kamala Harris is going to build a wall now. Say again? I'm telling you. So the National Pulse, Kamala Harris, who presided over record-breaking illegal immigration since Joe Biden tasked her with tackling its root causes, now claims she will finish former President Donald Trump's wall. I'm like, this can't be real. I mean, this, what? So J.D. Vance is already out there saying, we're going to propose that we finish the border wall and make America great again. He predicted she would say that. Well, it appears that she's heading that way. At one point, don't forget, too, in 2020, she said Trump's border wall was a complete waste of taxpayer money. Okay. But now it appears she's leaning back to getting there. She even called it, by the way, a stupid use of money and vowed to block any funding for it when she was a senator. But Vance says, you watch, she's going to be building the wall. At least she's going to tell people she is. I'm trying to find a quote. I know there's a quote in here somewhere where, I mean, gosh, she even called it Trump's medieval vanity project back in the day. She once compared the ICE officials to the Ku Klux Klan. Oh, my gosh. He said, but watch, it's coming. And who knows, it might be in this interview tonight if they dare to ask her a real question. All right, listen, I got more of this. Where do I stop with this? I mean, it's everywhere. California advances legislation to help illegal aliens buy homes. I said this the other day, but I had no idea how much money. They're allowed to give illegal immigrants up to $150,000 taxpayer dollars to buy a home. Why not? You're giving them everything else. It just passed the Senate. We're going to wait and see now whether Gavin Newsom actually signs the bill. But if anything is, you know, just like it has been in the past, he will. So, yeah, a bill just passed both the House and the Senate of the California legislature to allow for grants to illegal immigrants of upwards of $150,000 to help them buy their first home in their sanctuary state. There's not going to be anybody left in California paying taxes at the rate they're going. I'm just saying. In fact, one California Republican, in a story I've got here on Fox in a separate piece, says that this is madness. He said this is absolutely crazy for passing progressive legislation that would give illegal immigrants up to $150,000. Well, I think the rest of us can see that. I'm just amazed that the legislature out there doesn't see that. They have a $30 billion deficit in their budget, but they're going to give away, I mean, here it is. It's called the California Dream for All program. They started it a few years ago. They burned up their funds almost immediately. But now they're going to expand it anyway, and they're going to include illegals, giving them up to 20% of their home value to buy their first new home. It's the American dream. No, it's not. The American dream is working to get it. That's the American dream. All right, folks, we're taking a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Last break of the day on Turbo Thursday. You guys stay tuned. It is go home time. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right, and we will be back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. And by the way, on these border numbers right now, FAIR, which is the, oh gosh, what's the, I forgot the name of the organization. Basically, it's a reform immigration, the Foundation for American Immigration Reform. That's it, FAIR. The Biden-Harris administration is bragging about border encounters being down during the month of July, attributing the drop to the president's border proclamations. However, what they are not taking into account is that it only took a few months before the presidential election and millions of illegal aliens have already entered the system. Keep in mind, too, I'm not sure if it says it in here. I won't go into all of it. Border numbers are down, but also it's in part because really state action. Texas is taking a stand and getting nothing but grief and pushback from the Biden administration. But Texas is what's making a difference on the border right now. Let me run to the phones right now. Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Hey, brother, how you doing?
I've had better days.
That's what I heard, man. I am sorry.
Yeah, mom's in the hospital with a little bit of touch of pneumonia, but she's doing good.
Good.
And like you said, it's been a long night.
Well, and then you still got to drive anyway, huh?
Tomorrow. I was off today, so I just called in.
Well, good enough, man. Listen, tell mom we said we wish her the best and blessings on her. And, well, what do you think about all this stuff? Sanctuary cities and gangs taking over apartment complexes. And I didn't even mention, by the way, that we had a report today that in San Diego, illegals were trying to take over a busload of kids, a school bus full of kids.
Yeah, it's just completely ridiculous. But, you know, I'm seriously thinking about renouncing my citizenship and becoming an illegal because I can throw everything in my wife's name and everything. And I'm 62 years old, be 62 years old this year. The only reason I can't retire is because I can't get cheap health insurance. So if I become an illegal, hey, I get free health care and free everything. So I figure, you know, what the heck?
You can move to California, get a down payment for a house.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I can get that house and put a down payment on it and turn around and sell it and get that $20,000 or $30,000, whatever it is they're going to pay me back. Hey, that's pretty good money.
Well, hold on, man. Go ahead and identify as a black illegal immigrant. You might get reparations, too. No telling.
Oh, you know, that's true. I can identify as anything I want to be nowadays.
and then while you're at it, go ahead and identify as something other than how you were born, and you might even get a free job out of it because they get hiring preferences.
Yeah, maybe I can identify as a Democrat and go out and scream at the sun or scream at the sky or whatever.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let me ask you a quick question with only about a minute before I can jump off here and get a few text messages, too. But what's the flashpoint? I'm concerned that society's going to keep getting pushed. And at some point, something's going to happen that becomes a flashpoint for good people to truly take matters into their own hands. What do you think? What's the flashpoint?
I thought it would have already happened. I can't believe that people have rose up already. But we've just become so inept and so timid, you know, to just let things happen to us. Think about this. If this was 1776, you know, even close to that area, if they even, you know, wanted to put a penny on tax on tea or whatever, I mean, we'd be out there throwing tea into the harbor, you know. It's a different time because back then they knew what freedom was, and they wanted it. And now we've just become so coddled, and, you know, I don't want to rock the boat, you know. It has to get really bad, you know. But what's going to happen is this country's going to collapse. And then we're all going to be in trouble.
Well, let's don't speak of it as if it is. Let's go ahead and say we can't let it get to that point. That's the way I feel about it. But I agree.
Yeah,
we're running the risk. That's it. We're running the risk by having so many people willing to give it away. Hey, brother, I hate it, but I got like 30 seconds here, and I got to get a couple things in before I go off the air. But blessings on you, blessings on Mom, and you get to feeling better too, all right?
Hey, buddy. See ya.
All right, thank you, man. John from Huntsville got the grades in to us. He said Big Rig gets an A-plus for his amazing Turbo Thursday performance, but Butters and Phil get an A-double-plus for their equally spectacular performances, which means today's winner is obviously Lee from Huntsville with an A-triple-plus. Congratulations. That's
nice.
That's nice. That's good. All right. I'll take it. JT Lacey Springs says, I recant. He said, what? He says, I recant where Biden. I don't know what he's saying to me. Brother, you got to quit voice texting. I don't know what just happened. Brian from Huntsville says, please remember the Biden administration sold Trump wall materials or left them to rust. Yes, they did. Yes. Yes, they did. Marcus from Huntsville says, I think everyone that signed that California bill ought to be arrested for aiding and abetting illegal immigration. Since technically their presence here is illegal, supporting them should also be illegal. Boggles the mind, you guys. But hey, listen, here's the bottom line. There are more of us than there are of them. And God is still on his throne. So stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.